Amen. Well, pray with me as we open God's Word. Father, we thank you today for the season of Thanksgiving, an opportunity where we could pause and look at all of the many blessings that you have poured out in our lives. And God, we are truly a people that are blessed by you. Father, you have done so much. We want to pause just for a moment and to tell you, thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for the many, many, many blessings that you have given to us, Lord. And in fact, many of the blessings we don't even realize that we have. We know that we have in Christ. And so we celebrate that. We give you praise for that. And we ask you now to open our minds and our hearts to your word today, O Lord, as we study and as we learn and we grow and become people that are more like Jesus Christ. And we pray this all in your wonderful and holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is so good to see you on this special holiday weekend. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Hope you had a great time. I ate so much sweet potato casserole on Thursday that I would have been sick the last 2 days, but man, it was great. And I'm going to have a little more of that when I get home this afternoon. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. It's so good to see so many of you here today. And you know, today we're going to talk about a powerful principle I believe really has the power to change your life, has the ability to change your mind, to change your heart, to change your even your circumstances. And if we begin to practice this one principle, here's the things that are going to begin to take place in your life. Number one, you're going to have more energy. You're going to exercise more. You're going to think more creatively. You're going to overcome adversity faster. You're probably going to live longer. You're going to help others more. You're going to have more friends. You're going to boost your immunity system, and you're going to become more alert. Now, who doesn't want a life like that? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, university professors Robert Emmons from UC Davis and Michael McCullough from SMU did a study because they were curious about why people who were involved in their faith had so much more happiness than people that were not. And so they conducted this research, this study, where they gathered several hundred people, and they gave them all a journal, and they divided them up into three categories. The first group, their responsibility, their job, was to write down everything that they were thankful for all day long. Everything great. Everything good in their life. They were to focus on that. They were to write that down in the journal. The second group, their responsibility was to write down everything that was indifferent. Things that were neither good nor bad, like went to the store or went to the ball game or whatever was going on that day that wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It was just kind of stuff. They wrote that down. The third group wrote down everything negative, everything bad, everything they were frustrated by. At the end of the period of time, they came back and they discovered these conclusions from this study. The group who daily wrote down what they were grateful for reported a higher level of alertness and enthusiasm, determination, optimism, and energy. And additionally, the gratitude group experienced less depression, was more likely to help others, exercised more regularly, and made more progress towards their personal and family goals. They were also more likely to feel loved, had fewer illnesses, and had a higher quality of life than the other two groups. And what's interesting is what these university professors have told us in the 21st century is what the Bible has been saying for several thousand years. There's power in gratitude. The two words, thank you, have tremendous power in the life of the believer when we begin to exercise that and we begin to live by gratitude. Now, there's no passage that illustrates this any greater than in the Gospel of Luke. In fact, in chapter 17 of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is facing an interesting group of individuals. There are 10 lepers that have come to Jesus. And notice what the story says there on your sermon outline or in your Bible under your chair. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out aloud in a voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself first to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Just to give us a little background here about the story, leprosy was one of the most difficult diseases facing people in the ancient world. And there actually are people today that still have contracted leprosy and have symptoms related to leprosy. We don't have that in our country, thank goodness. But leprosy was a death sentence. It was a highly contagious disease. So much so that once you were contaminated with the leprosy disease, you were required to walk down a street and to scream out unclean anytime you were about to come into contact with somebody because getting too close to that individual could give that disease to other people. And so lepers had a huge stigma. They were not allowed to live with family members. They weren't allowed to talk to their friends. In fact, in the ancient world, if you greeted somebody, you hugged them and kissed them. And you couldn't do that as a leper. You had to go live in a leper colony. And so lepers would lose their family. They would lose their loved ones. They would lose their way of life. And they would just wait to die. And not only would they be emotionally isolated, but leprosy was a highly destructive disease on the body. In fact, they say in the advanced forms of leprosy that body parts, limbs, literally begin to rot and to fall off. So we're talking about 10 individuals that were desperate. I mean, they had no alternatives, right? There was no medication. There were no shots. There were no doctors. All that they could do was hope and pray that this man, Jesus Christ, that they had heard about could clean them, could cleanse them. And so these lepers approached Jesus, hoping that the healing power of Christ would transform their lives. And when Jesus healed people, he told them to do many different things, not just one thing Jesus said to do. But in this particular instance, he told them to go show themselves to the priest. And the Bible says on the way, even before they got there, they were cleansed. But what's so interesting about the story is not necessarily the healing power of Jesus. Jesus healed a lot of people. What stands out the most is that only 10%, only one out of the 10 came back to say thank you to Jesus after having this massive transformation. Now you would think if you had moved from death to life, from sickness to health, that you would be compelled to come and at least say thank you, right? And yet only one out of the 10 came and acknowledged what Jesus had done for them. And Jesus inquires about it, and he asks him in verse 19, and he says, your faith has made you well. See, being grateful is not having everything that you want. It's being thankful for what you have. And it's interesting that many times we are blessed, and God pours out tremendous blessings in our life, and sometimes we're so hesitant or so focused on other things that we forget to say thank you. How can we give God thanks? There's two things today we want to focus in the text today. The first is this, that we need to tell God that we're thankful for all that he's done. Okay? We need to tell God we're thankful for what he's done. For the lepers, it was their physical healing. For us, there's many things we can be grateful for. Maybe our health, our family, our education, our finances, and maybe a myriad of other things. We are a people that are far more blessed than we really think we are. And if we really begin to pause for a moment and to think about all of the blessings in our lives, it would probably surprise us. Some people have faith, but not gratitude. Isn't it interesting that the lepers had all the confidence in the world that Jesus could heal them? I mean, they sought Jesus out, and then when he told them to go present themselves to the priest, they did so without hesitation. So there wasn't a question of did they have faith in Jesus. They did. They believed that he could heal them. But faith and gratitude don't always go together. Listen, you can believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave and that he saved you. And I hope that you do believe that. But listen, that doesn't necessarily make you grateful. See, gratitude is a discipline. It's something that we have to continue to work on day in and day out. It's a perspective. It's the lens through which we look at the world. Gina and I were with a pastor and his wife in another state. And the pastor's wife is a Grammy Award winner. She's a worship leader, a tremendously talented couple. And in our conversation, they begin to tell us about their two twin boys they have that are like college age. And the boys, they were born premature. They were twins. They were underweight. They've had all kinds of physical and emotional complications. And just in the course of the conversation, we gather that the boys would probably never be independent. They would probably always be connected, you know, to mom and dad in some way. They would never be able to live on their own and have their own lives and things like that. I think they got some kind of high school graduation, but learning is very hard for them and even holding down a normal job. And, you know, when you talk to folks like that, sometimes you expect people to be depressed or to be sad or to be angry. And, you know, that wasn't the attitude at all. In fact, the course of the conversation, they just kept talking about how grateful to God that they were able to have these children that they didn't think they were going to be able to have in the first place, and then how God had just provided for them. And the whole conversation just took a whole nother course. You know, I learned something that day listening to them. Gratitude is an attitude. It's a perspective. There's plenty of things in our lives that we can be depressed about. But when we begin to develop an attitude of gratitude, we begin to look at the world a different way. And we begin to see not what do we want, but what do we have. And that when we do that, we want to tell God that we are grateful. Being grateful is a discipline we have to focus on. Listen, the natural way of thinking is negative, cynicism, skepticism. That's how we think in the natural mind. But when the Spirit of God begins to invade our heart and we begin to worship and to follow Jesus Christ, God begins to change our mind. And then we move from this attitude of always feeling like we need more to being grateful for all that God is doing in our lives. It has to do with the simple thing of just changing our perspective. We must balance asking God with thanking God. You know, a lot of times our prayer list looks like our Christmas list. And I've been guilty of this before where I've prayed about something and God answered and he did almost exactly what I asked, maybe even more. And before I even had a chance to thank him, I was on to the next prayer request, right? I was on to like the next thing. Now, God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do this. And then all of a sudden, God starts doing stuff, and then I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then I'm on to the next thing. Man, when we really develop this attitude of gratitude, we are thanking and praising God for what he is doing in our own lives all along the way. We change perspective. It's kind of like, well, this attitude of gratitude reminds me of the family member. And all of us have the family member. If you say we're going to spend $30 on a Christmas present, and you go out and you spend $35 or $40 on a Christmas present because you're trying to really go over the top, they're the family member that goes to Walmart and buys something off the mega clearance rack. I mean, they go to the back of the store, the stuff where the employees are like begging people to take it. It's 99% off. Get it off of our hands. Take it, you know? And they go and buy those things, and it's got like five red tags on it because it's been marked down so much. And they bring that gift, you know? Or they bring that white elephant gift that they got at the office Christmas party the night before. Or they get the re-gift, you know, that thing that they got 3 years ago that they didn't want that was up in the attic. They went and got that, and then they brought that, you know, and they're never grateful. You know, or maybe you have a family member or a friend like that. They always want you to help pay their bills, or they always want you to help bail them out. But they're never grateful. And if they were grateful, you'd love to help them. But you feel like that all they want to do is complain and take. And sometimes in the spiritual realm, we can be the same with God. We can be people that are always wanting to take, but never wanting to give back. Listen, you know what you can do to give back to God today? Just tell him thank you. Just say, God, I want to give you thanks today. I want to give you praise. I don't want to be like the nine lepers. I want to be like the one. I want to give thanks and praise to God for the many things that he has done in our lives. You know, sometimes we think, well, if people are grateful, they were just born that way. You know, there's like happy people. Woo! You know? And there's people of this personality, or they grew up in this family, you know, or they haven't had all these circumstances. Listen, you know, the happiest and the most grateful people that I know are not the people that have had the easiest life. That's a misnomer. We just think, boy, they hadn't been through what I've been through. That's not true. Many of the people I know that have the greatest joy and the most gratitude are the people that have been through some of the hardest things of anybody that I know. It's an attitude. And when we decide that we want to give God thanks, it begins to change our heart and it begins to change our perspective. And what these university professors discovered in this study is something that God's been saying for a long time. Gratitude will change your life, will change your relationships. It will change your perspective, will change your heart. You'll have more joy. You'll enjoy life more. And we all want to have a life like that. You know, I'm thankful today for my kids. This week I've been kind of thinking about, well, Ryan, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for a lot of things. We weren't sure we were going to be able to have kids, so I'm extremely grateful for my two kids. I mean, I love my kids. I have a two-year-old and a three-year-old. My two-year-old little girl, she has a special daddy smile. And I'm telling you, she doesn't smile at anybody like she smiles at me. It is awesome. And I don't want her to smile at anybody else like that. You know, that's a special daddy smile. And it's awesome. I love that. Zane's three. He's wants to copy and do everything that I do. In fact, in the basement of our house is where I have my study and my office. And then also we have some play area down there for the kids. We have a really awesome basement. And Zane told our babysitter the other day, he said, I got to go down to the basement to study for my sermon. Zane said, he also calls himself Pastor Zane. Self-designated. That's awesome. You know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Man, God has been good. I'm thankful for the Edge Church. I just love being your pastor. I love being here. We've had a blast getting this church started. It's fun. I've been giving God thanks for that. I'm excited about 2011. I believe the greatest days of our church are ahead, and we're just going to keep growing and reaching people, and people are coming to faith every month in our church. And I mean, it's great, and I'm giving God thanks. And you know what? You're giving God thanks today for what he's doing in your life. And when you begin to do that and to walk in that, it just begins to change your own heart and your life. So we need to tell God, thank you. Now, thankfulness requires humility. Notice that this leper, he actually fell down before Jesus. He fell at his feet. See, when you begin to give God gratitude, it brings humility in your life. If you struggle with pride, begin to work on gratitude. Because the more grateful that you are to God, the more humble you become. It's amazing how those things work together. And just as this leper fell down before the feet of Jesus to give thanks, he was expressing humility. And he was saying, man, apart from you, Jesus, I wouldn't be where I am today. Thank you. Thank you. Gratitude. So we need to tell God, thank you for all that he's done. And the second thing is we want to show God that we're thankful for all he's done. I mean, we don't want to just be people that give lip service and just say, yeah, I'm thankful. Now, if we were to go and interview the other nine, and we were to say, are you guys thankful? What do you think they would say? Well, of course they would. Yeah, they would say, yeah, we're definitely thankful. I mean, you know, life wasn't too good before. But, you know, it's different to say something and yet to say something and then do something. And the greatest measure of our gratitude is our actions. Not just what we say. We say a lot of stuff. What we do really reflects what's in our heart. So we want to be people that indeed represent and express our gratitude to God and our thanksgiving to him. Look at verse 15 through 17. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Not a soft voice, a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. I'm telling you, that one guy, he was thankful. The other nine, they had different actions. The litmus test of our gratitude is our worship. And our worship is expressing our love and devotion to God. The way that we tell God thank you is we tell Him through our worship. What is worship? Worship is telling God that we love Him. How do we express worship? Worship is a big category. A lot of times we talk about worship in terms of the music and the band. And we have great music at the Edge Church. And we love to worship the Lord here. And that's part of it. But you know, we can worship the Lord a lot of ways. We worship the Lord through music, through studying the Scripture, through preaching, through prayer, through the Lord's Supper. We're going to take communion in a couple weeks today, Christmas at communion. That's worship. Baptism. We've got a few people are going to be baptized in a few weeks. That's worship. Singing, praying, all these things, making commitments to God, and even giving. You know, the reason we pass an offering basket at the Edge Church is because giving is an act of worship. And we want to be able to worship. We want to be able to tell God, thank you. And a huge part of being thankful is expressing our gratitude to God in our giving. And our giving reflects our gratitude to God. It really does. It's a huge part of that. We've been taking up this special offering above our tithes and offerings called the Reach Out Offering. And we have a packet underneath your chair, by the way. But this special offering is to help us reach out to our community and make our community a better place. And so we've been asking our congregation to give above and beyond the normal tithe to help us with some special mission projects. One is starting a new church in the Stapleton area of Denver. One is a benevolence fund to help people who are needy. And I'll just tell you, this week we had an awesome opportunity. We've already begun taking in funds for this, and we already had an opportunity to help some folks along the way. But one of the things that we were able to do this week is our school here, Coyote Hills, was having a food drive, and they needed some more food. And so we called the school earlier in the week, and we asked what their needs were, and they were behind. They didn't have all the food to feed the needy families that they needed for Thanksgiving. And our church took part of our reach out offering funds and went and bought a ton of food at Sam's and brought it up here to the school, and we were able to do that because the Edge Church is a generous church. And the principal was so excited, he personally came out and thanked us, left his office, and he was elated, you know, that we would help the school participate in their food drive. It was awesome. It was great. And when we give to God and we show our gratitude towards Him, then it helps our church be a grateful church. And this week, that's one of the examples of how we've been able to use the reach out offering, because our giving reflects our gratitude. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, I will not forget the glorious things God does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is merciful and tender towards those who don't deserve it. He is slow to get angry. He never bears a grudge. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. And that's a lot to worship God for. That's a lot to tell God and to show God thank you because of all those things the psalmist said. We want to let our gratitude drive our worship. When I think about the things that God has done for me, I want to get down on my knees and I want to worship Him. And I want to say, God, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness in my life. We need to take inventory of our life and just maybe even make a list today or this week of all the things that you're grateful for. Maybe you just get out a spiral notebook or a piece of paper and just begin to write down those things that you want to give gratitude and thanksgiving to God for what He's done in your life. And then when we tell God thank you, we also begin to show God. 1 Chronicles 29:16 says, everything has come from you, and everything belongs to you. You know, everything that we have in life is really from the Lord. If you want to just be honest about it, yeah, I know that you went out and had a job and, you know, made a salary and whatever, but, you know, you didn't do that independently. God blessed you with that. Everything we have is a result of God's blessing in our life. So we want to give God gratitude and say, thank you. And we want to pause for a moment in this hour of worship and say, God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Let's just give God the gratitude he deserves today. Isn't that good? Yeah. You know, one of the greatest enemies of gratitude is a sense of entitlement. I deserve this. God better do that. I deserve this over here. You know, sometimes we live like that. I'm entitled to this. You know, that sense of entitlement will be a great deterrent to the attitude of gratitude, because the attitude of gratitude just says, man, everything I have is a blessing from God, and I just give him thanks for however much or whatever he gives. It's a big difference. We have the opportunity to greatly improve the quality of our life by becoming a person of gratitude. I'm telling you, even if you're an atheist, you ought to be grateful to God because it's going to make your life better. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, how much more grateful should we be? God wants us to be grateful. We need to tell him and we need to show him this week that we are grateful for all that he has done. Let's just bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you today for the blessings that you have given to us, Lord. In Luke 17, it was the healing of a leper. But God, you've done tremendous things all over this room. There's thousands of blessings represented here today. And God, we would be nowhere without you. And we just want to pause and say, God, we love you and we give you thanks. And we worship you today. And God, we don't want to just be people that give you lip service. We want to respond and say, God, we want our actions to line up with what we say, what we think that we believe. So, Lord, today, let this week be an opportunity for us to live in tremendous gratitude and thanksgiving to you for your blessings and your goodness in our life. And we pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.